This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
Play with your power glove as we, tonight on the spoiler room, talk about video games, movies based off of video games, if you will. And tonight I've got a full crew here with us to discuss these films. And first off, of course, in the spoiler room is spoiler room regular himself, Mr. Cole Meredith. Hello, Cole.
Hello, Mark. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, glad you could be here. I hope you grab that magic star, give yourself some invincibility this evening. And right next to him is a princess that does not need saving. In fact, she saves Mario all the time. It's Dawn. How are you tonight, Dawn?
I am just fabulous. Got my magic potion ready to go.
Awesome. You got to keep that handy always, and you always got to watch for when those magic potions and save points show up just before you go through the door. You're like, ah, shit's about to get real. Speaking of getting real, we have a man who does 360 no-scope all the time. He is not a camper. It is the one and only BFD, Glenn Bittner. Hello, Glenn.
Diabetes.
That is his war cry. He yells, "Diabetes!" Anyway, and then they look, and he wins the game. So there you go. Right next to Diabetes, we have...
Wow.
Sorry, Glenn. Couldn't resist that one. Right next to Glenn, though, is the one and only Mr. Paul Salzar, the man who is looking for the Hero Shield. Hello, Paul.
Hello, how are you guys?
Oh, I think we're all doing fantastic this evening. And next to Paul, it's the one and only Scott Davis. Hello, Scott.
Mamma mia, woohoo! It's about as current as my game. Yeah. Mario's got a gun now, woohoo! You was about to watch his ass.
Mario's about to snipe you.
Goof is about to get his ass smoked.
And last but not least, we have the man himself, the donkey. Dong of Kong, if you will, Mr. William. Hello, William.
Hi.
Well, I feel bad about that one. Do you want to swap intros?
Scott is going to be the Dong of Kong. Mario with a sniper rifle. We're already doing well this evening here, talking about video game influenced movies. Yes, that's right. Movies based off of video games. There's actually quite a number of them out there. Though nowadays you would picture a video game and it looks like a movie. So that's how far we've come. But tonight we're going to talk about some of our favorites. And we're going to start right off with William. And I do apologize for the Donkey Dong comment. My brain just fires off these things and I just, you know, I can't stop. So, William. What is your pick this evening that you'd like to talk about?
Well, as I said, it was really difficult because I really enjoy films like that. So I decided to pick one that's really old. I'm pretty sure everybody in this chat has watched it. The Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, nice. I think someone else in this room was bringing Super Mario Brothers to the table tonight. Oh, yes, Super Mario Brothers movie. I knew we would not be able to avoid this film this evening. okay, so let's talk about Super Mario Brothers movie. why don't you tell us a little bit about what the film's about, William?
Well, for one, it's extremely loose on the video game adaptation. I can tell you that much. Like it's not a bad movie, but it surely is not good. It is all over the place. So, all right, it's been a while since I've seen it, so I'm gonna try to sum it up the best I can.
Otherwise, we've got someone else in the room. I think that could possibly summarize it as well. but why don't you give it a shot?
Okay, it's about these two plumbers who run into this girl who is trying to stop construction, I believe. Yeah. And she somehow, for some reason, gets kidnapped and taken to an alternate universe where dinosaurs have evolved into humans. And yeah, for some reason, one of the main dinosaurs, I think King Koopa, they named him. For some reason, they didn't call him Bowser. I have not figured out why they haven't called him Bowser. But he apparently wants to merge universes and turn people into monkeys.
Well, you know what? You actually did fairly well with that, considering how the film was. Why is this one of your favorite video game films?
Because I didn't know there was a movie out there like that. I never knew about it until one day at school someone said, "Hey, have you ever seen the Super Mario Brothers movie?" I'm like, "I'm not really into animated films." "Oh, no, it's not animated. It's live action." I'm like, "I got to find this movie now."
Yeah.
Yes, it did come out, and well, that's as good as a reason as any, I would think, to see this film. Let's go around the room, because I have a feeling some others here have watched this film at least a few times. Dawn, how are you tonight?
I am fabulous, because that's the way it works.
Super Mario Brothers. I believe this was the film you wanted to talk about as well.
Yeah, actually. But that's fine. I mean, yes, that's how it works, and that's perfectly fine.
Your thoughts. Go ahead.
This is certainly not a great movie, like William said, but it is an important movie. It was the first live-action video game movie ever made, and they certainly didn't make it on something, base it on a game that had a ton of plot. Like the ones that came after it and shortly after it, Street Fighter didn't have a ton of plot, nor did Mortal Kombat, but it had much more of a plot than Super Mario Brothers. I liked the world they created. Number one, Annabelle, and I apologize if I mispronounced the name, but Annabelle Jankel and Rocky Morton, who were the brains behind Super Mario Brothers, were actually also had worked on Max Headroom, which I love Max Headroom when I was young, so it just made sense. And this was all sorts of fun to watch. So you can see that creative kind of minds behind it. I love the worlds, the alternate world they created when the Mario Brothers crossed over into the alternate dimension, into the alternate Brooklyn. The world they created there was kind of this cheap-ass Blade Runner world. That's the only description that I can really think of. It's kind of a cheap rip, well, not rip on, but a cheap, cheesy version of Blade Runner, where you have a lot of crime and a lot of gritty, and people are just in general miserable. There's not a lot of happiness going on.
It is a pretty bleak world that they painted.
That's true. and nobody's really happy. There's a lot of crap going on. You get some really truly great performances, not only from your core cast, Dennis Hopper, Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, and Samantha Mathis. You also get some other great performances from Mojo Nixon as Toad.
Yes.
Love Mojo Nixon.
Love him.
And Fiona Shaw. Mm-hmm. She's pretty foxy in this, especially when you compare her to her role as Aunt Petunia in the Harry Potter movies. She's pretty foxy in
Super Mario Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at Mortal Kombat. Sorry. Okay. And you've also got, as the Koopa cousins, you've got Fisher Stevens and Richard Edson, who do a brilliant job. And I love how they went from being the stupid, you know, they did stupid and bumbling so completely convincingly, and then they went on to this parody of intellectualism.
Yeah, right. They jump from one extreme to the other.
Exactly.
And then, of course,
last, my favorite, Lance Hendricks. Lance Hendrickson.
Yes, he makes an appearance as well, yes.
Yes, he does.
Hey, Mark.
Huh?
You can't forget about the bomb.
The ba-bomb. if anything has a positive light on this film, it's the ba-bomb. The ba-bomb is probably my favorite highlight of this film. Would you say that's probably one of your favorite scenes as well, William, is the ba-bomb?
Yeah, because of how everybody was reacting to it.
Just this little tiny wind-up ba-bomb, and it is considered one of the deadliest things in the alternate universe. Cole, how about you, sir? Have you seen Super Mario Brothers? What are your thoughts on this film?
Oh, man. Well, I grew up with the game, was probably the first game that I played and the first game I ever won. And I love the game. I still love it. I love to play it. And I could definitely see how the movie could be made in 1993, much closer to the game. And it would have been a lot of fun. I can definitely see the same actors, all of them, the same actors in a version that has the kinetic energy and the uplifting tone and the high spirit of the game. I can see it in my head. I can see people jumping into pipes and jumping over giant stone staircases and flipping around flagpoles and trying to rescue this princess like a fairy tale. I mean, certainly you could say, well, the effects weren't there, but then look at something like Neverending Story. I mean, the effects were there, and this is 1993. I'm actually in the same position with this as I was on the Tank Girl show, which I love. Everybody involved in this movie. I love Samantha Morton. I love John Leguizamo. I love Dennis Hopper. I love all of these people. And the execution just baffles me. Why would you take that material? And Don's absolutely right. It had very little plot, but then again, it's a Save the Princess story. You could do it as a fairy tale, very simply, with all these same people. Add a little bit of sunshine and multiple versions of the theme track. Have a bunch of different bands come in and do it. And, I could see how it is a lot of fun. This movie is, like, grim. It's oddly grim. And, I can't say that I dislike it. Time has maybe been kinder to it in the sense that it's sort of novel to watch it now with Dennis Hopper having left us and, I could see watching it again and enjoying it more. I haven't watched it in a few years. But the game means a lot to me. I like the game. It cheers me up to this day to play it. And this movie does not necessarily have that impact.
Yeah, I will say that it is a little bit bleaker, quite a bit bleaker, actually, than the video game itself. Glenn, how about you and this interesting installment in the cinematic history, Super Mario Brothers?
I haven't seen it since the first time I saw it. I did not see it in the theater. I saw it probably on HBO. That was enough for me. I never played a lot of the Super Mario games. The only Mario stuff I really played was the original Mario Brothers. Because I never had a Nintendo. So I didn't have a huge desire to see it. I mean, I liked the people who were in the cast, but what they did with them, it wasn't one for me.
Sure. I can see that. I don't think it was one for a lot of people, actually. Paul, what about you, sir? Super Mario Brothers.
I loved the actors. I loved the sets. The jump boots were really neat. But a likable story, unfortunately, was in another castle for me.
Nice.
And I guess the highlight, I think, is definitely the music. I did like Walk the Dinosaur and Tie Your Mother Up.
The soundtrack to it, I actually own the soundtrack to the film.
Nice.
Because I enjoyed the music in it quite a bit. But I think tonight, too, with the other films, if any of them are from the 90s, we're going to find that soundtracks to some of these films, especially these video game films, were actually pretty decent and sometimes better than the movie itself. Scott, what about you, sir? Super Mario Brothers?
I had actually only seen this for the first time like about a couple months ago.
Really?
Yeah, somehow I had not watched it for about 20 years. I don't know why. I think when it came out, I said, oh, they did a Super Mario Brothers movie. Yeah, okay. I mean, and I liked the games and stuff like that. But I'm like, but you know, the movie was like, yeah, whatever. And then I saw like, wow, that doesn't look anything like the games at all. It looks like this urban wasteland and everything. And so somehow I just kind of missed this movie and didn't bother watching it for some odd reason that's been forgotten to time. And then I can't remember why I watched it. There was a purpose to be watching it. I do remember, but it's irrelevant to here. But there was a purpose to be watching it. And I actually had a really good time with this movie because it is such nonsense. it is such nonsense. I like good nonsense. I like good nonsense. Dawn, thank you for bringing up that the people who directed this had worked on Max Headroom, a show I also loved. I did not realize that, and now this movie makes perfect sense. Because yep. a lot of that same humor, a lot of the same imagery even.
Yep.
It's almost like they didn't even do a Super Mario Brothers movie. They did a Max Headroom movie and called it Super Mario Brothers. I like that this movie had Dennis Hopper trying, like a 60-year-old Dennis Hopper trying to mech and have lizard sex with like a 20-year-old Samantha Mathis.
Yeah, I know, right?
I just cracked up when I said we have a major summer movie blockbuster that features the line, "Remember to trust the fungus."
Yes.
I'm like, this movie is completely bonkers. There's no way in. I don't care what name they had attached to it. There's no way in hell this was ever going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, it made half its budget back.
But I had a good, you know what? I think it's because I didn't take it seriously at all and stuff. I'm going to say that I don't really take a lot of video game adaptations personally. It's not that I hate video games, it's that I'm okay with them, but whatever you're gonna do. I had a good time with it. And as Dawn, I'm glad Dawn mentioned Mojo Nixon, because I freaking love Mojo Nixon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, correction, too. I said Samantha Morton. I meant Samantha Mathis.
Yep, that's all right. We knew who you meant, Cole. Yeah, for me, Super Mario's, I despised this film when it first came out. I am completely going to be honest with everyone. This was a film that I actually paid money for, and I honestly felt like I needed to go to the box office and ask them to give my money back. And here's why. Big fan, growing up in the 80s, big fan of Super Mario Brothers. And I went in there, and the film was nothing like Super Mario Brothers, except, I mean, you had some of the characters, but the world and the story, everything was just... You had expectations at the time, and, you know, then, 93, I was just graduated high school. So I was a teenager, didn't know any better. So I revisited this recently because Dawn mentioned as well that this was one of the films she was watching it and she liked. And for Dawn, I rewatched Super Mario Brothers and muscled through Super Mario Brothers. And I will say, if this was not a Super Mario Brothers film, if it didn't have that title, if it changed the character slightly, I would have probably really enjoyed this film. Huh. But the fact that they put it within the context of Super Mario Brothers and the fact that it ingrained itself in me and I loved the game so much, I appreciate the film more now than I did, you know, 23 years ago, I will say. I enjoy the production design, and again, the actors in it are great. The casting they picked was really well done. There were some surprisingly, as mentioned, darker and more adult moments in this film that didn't know whether or not it wanted to appeal just to kids or to adults, or tried to do both, I think. It one of those early attempt films to try to cover both, because he had the innuendos in there and the rather mature, you know. And, but then you had the Ba-Bomb, and then you had the Goombas who get their heads shrunk. And, you know, I mean, for me, I guess it was expectations going in. And now being older, I do appreciate it a lot more in watching it and thinking, this isn't so bad. I wish it wasn't a Mario Brothers movie, but it wasn't as bad as what I pictured it when I was 17, but it's not a great film. I don't think it deserves as much hatred as it gets, but again, I think it's because, just like me, a lot of people were expecting a different film than what they got. And yeah, what they got was a Max Headroom film, basically, with that energy and that kind of just out there avant-garde art production design of the movie. And it's a high kinetic film for the most part. I mean, there's very, very few low points to it. So, but on the whole, I will say I do appreciate the film better now. I don't despise the film. I just wish it hadn't had Super Mario Brothers' name on it, and they would have just tweaked it differently, and they could have just made it its own movie, and I think I'd appreciate it more. But the fact that that brand is on there, I guess it sits differently with me, if that makes sense, than if it hadn't been a Mario Brothers film.
It's the whole argument of separating the source material from the movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just like with comic books.
Just like with comic books. And I, like you said, I recognize how people are devoted to comic books, but I'm not as much, so I accept those changes a little more. But I guess for me, having just been so Mario Brothers, I mean, us older folks, when you grew up, I mean, that was the game.
It's an uplifting game. That's the thing. It's, you know, it's just fun. It's a lot of fun, you know.
Well, it was your gateway game. It was, yeah. You know, your gateway drug, basically, to video games. It's like it came with your Nintendo system, which I had to buy myself. My parents wouldn't buy for me, so I had to buy it. But I remember seeing Mario Brothers even before that in a bar in Northwoods, Wisconsin. My dad and I were on a fishing trip. We went to a bar to have lunch, because that's what you do in Wisconsin. You take your kids to the bar to have lunch. And standing there, it was versus Super Mario Brothers. It wasn't even just Mario. It was versus Super Mario Brothers. And I was like, what is this? And that was it. That was, and game over. I blew so many quarters on that game. So I guess it holds that special place for me. So seeing this film at 17, I just totally despised it. Seeing it now, I appreciate it a lot more. I think I'd enjoy it even more had it not been Super Mario Brothers. So, but I do like it. I don't hate it nearly as much as what I did before, and I do sort of like it. It has some appeal to it. So, great choice there, William. Glad you picked Super Mario Brothers. I knew it was going to come up at one point. I didn't expect two people to actually want to talk about the film, in all honesty, but I'm glad you brought that one up. So, let's go ahead to Paul. Paul, what video game movie did you bring for us tonight?
All right. My pick is proof why Rotten Tomatoes can suck my joystick. Because it scored a 5% on their rating.
Oh, what movie is this? I'm curious now.
It's Silent Hill Revelation.
Oh, nice.
Part of it has to do with the fact that Silent Hill is one of my favorite games. It is definitely the genre of game that I enjoy playing. I like survival horror. I like going through, you know, these like monster-filled streets. And that game was one of the first games to actually scare me. And Silent Hill Revelation was one of the first movies that made me feel like I was in that game. The first movie didn't do it as well for me. But the Silent Hill Revelation definitely did do what I expected it to do.
And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit, because they may not be familiar as well with the Silent Hill games, what Silent Hill Revelation was about.
Okay. It basically follows the events of the third Silent Hill game, as well as the events that happen in the first film, Silent Hill. It's about a young woman hiding under the alias of Heather. She thinks that she's basically on the lam with her father because her father told her that he had killed a man in self-defense. But the reality of the situation is that he's trying to protect her from this cult of Silent Hill. And in the first film, we actually find that her adoptive mother, Rose, and Heather, or I think it's her name was Sharon in that movie, they get trapped in Silent Hill. But at the beginning of this film, Rose manages to free her daughter, but is trapped in Silent Hill. And like all characters of Silent Hill, Heather starts to dream about this town, and she's basically compelled to go back. And when she does, she learns more about her past and her connection with that strange town called Silent Hill.
Nice. The game is quite creepy. I've played the first one, first couple. Not all the way through, but mm-hmm. I will say they are creepy films. And I have seen this one, but I'll wait to weigh in on that. Let's start here. William, did you see Silent Hill Revelations?
Yes, I actually saw it in theaters.
Are you a 5%er or a 95%er?
I'm a 75. I played the third game recently and beat it. Hmm? So I rewatched the movie. The only problem I have with the movie is I felt it was rushed. It should have been longer.
Mm-hmm. The ending was rushed.
Exactly. They needed to do more with Claudia, and I don't like how they executed Douglas so fast. Because he kind of was one of the main characters in the third game. I'm like, why are you doing this to him?
Yeah. I think they needed to work on the plot because there's so much of the plot, and they had to focus it around Heather's character.
Yes.
And so that's why. I mean, with the game, you're able to play for hours and hours. With the movie, you're limited to, like, what, 30 minutes, 90 mm-hmm. minutes, or sorry, 90 minutes.
Yeah, with some of these games like this, especially the more modern games, you run into that where there's a lot larger story than what you can fit usually into a movie. this is definitely one of them. What were you going to say, William? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I also like the fact that they made the actors, they look just like the characters in the video game. They did very well with that. Although I don't recall there being a mannequin boss in the game, though that would have been very interesting. The mannequin monster was flat out amazing in that film.
Mm-hmm. There were some really creepy monsters in this film, definitely. Cole, have you seen Silent Hill Revelation at all?
Well, I just want to say I respect you, Paul. I do, man. The original film is my pick for the first film.
Ah,
okay. So it's going to be an interesting night, and it's actually one of my favorite films of all time.
Wow.
And I fucking hate the sequel.
I think people do.
I seen it once, and it was almost insulting, because the first film to me is like, I won't talk about it until my turn, but the first film to me is how you can make horror beautiful. Mm-hmm. And this movie to me is how you make horror just fast food, you know? and now again, I've only played the game a couple times, and I'm not trying to insult anybody's pick, but coming from the standpoint, oh man, they got the original cast back, and the director's like, you know, we're going to be true to the first premise, and man, this film, it just feels so truncated and almost like an extended music video. It may be truer to the games, and this is the point Don brought up so accurately. I guess you have to separate the two. For me, Super Mario Brothers is an important part of my life. Silent Hill wasn't necessarily. And I went to the first film solely because Rhoda Mitchell is my favorite actress. So I thought, well, I'm going to give these people my $7.50, you know, and I saw it twice in the same day because I wasn't expecting that level of craft. And nor was I expecting it from the sequel, but I sort of thought at least I'll get some jump scares and, it'll be a good popcorn movie. And I didn't think any of that. I was bored. It was bland to me, you know, to my taste. And damn, it was truncated. I mean, you guys talk about a shortened ending. The first one was a journey. It's an odyssey. This movie just, it burns, man. It burns like a cigarette.
It explains all the ash in town.
Don, what about you? Have you seen Silent Hill Revelation?
I haven't.
You haven't.
I saw the first one, and I liked it, but I haven't. That'll come later.
How about you, Glenn?
The mannequin monster is cool.
Yeah.
End of story.
They are. That is cool. I will say that is one of the creepier moments in the film is with the mannequin monster. I thought they designed that well. What about you, Scott? Have you seen Silent Hill Revelations?
No, I was actually just rewatching the original just before I came on here today, but I have still not seen the sequel.
Yeah, I saw the sequel, and I can say I... Yeah. I was. I watched the first one as well, and this one, it was Sean Bean was in here, and I was just waiting to see when his character died. I was taking bets. I liked the production design of it. I can say that. I liked the visuals. For me, as creepy as the mannequins were, this one had the creepy nurses. I liked those characters in there, the way they had them and how they detected, you know, people nearby. And the whole thing with the creepy nurses, I thought, was really well done. And the production design, yeah, the look, you know, the feel of the environment that they were in, it was just the story for me. I will completely agree that that ending felt like, oh, crap, we're almost out of money. Okay, let's end it here. you know, It did feel a bit truncated at the end, and yeah, I don't know with this one. I wasn't pleased. I thought, especially near the end, the ending really didn't sit well with me. it did boil down to the ending, because that's usually, you know, one of the last things you remember about a film. And for me, I was like, yeah, this is a... where's my controller so I can control these guys? Because these guys aren't fighting right, you know. But I know a number of people who have enjoyed this film, like you, Paul. You know, and I did find highlights to it. You know, I didn't think it completely sucked at all. I don't think it deserves a 5% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's Rotten Tomatoes. We all know how we feel about that rating. Place. So, and I'll never be a fresh critic with the words I've said about their site. But no, I like the production design. I like the creatures. I like the bad guys. I thought the script was just needed work. Started out strong, but lost me near the end to where I was just not into it anymore.
And I think the thing that I like is what makes everyone not like the film, and that's because it was trying to be like this happy thing for people that love the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they tried to do, and it's like, well, we don't really need a story because we'll just follow the story that's in the game. Everyone knows it, right? And that's yeah. what they were thinking. And
it had that feel of it was made specifically for the fans.
Yeah.
And not necessarily for your outside audience, you know. And you run into that. It's the same. It's funny. We talk about the video game movies because for a while there was a slew of them. This was kind of before the advent, you know, and the takeoff of the comic book movies. And both fall into the same kind of category in that the makers, things don't always translate well from animated or video game to live action, you know, or... You try to put in all these references that you know the fans are going to get, but you end up then alienating any new audience that might be coming in or people who don't know the game because you're just like, wait, what reference is that? Why is half this audience laughing? I don't get it. You know, or, you know, like my kids. Who's Howard the Duck? But yeah, good pick, Paul. A visual visual movie, definitely. I love the production design, but yeah, it is a mixed bag, and there's either love or hate it, I think, for it, and there is a lot of hate out there for it, but there is for Super Mario's as well, so it seems to be a little bit of a trend with video game movies. Let's go with Glenn. Glenn, what movie did you want to talk about this evening?
I picked Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
Oh,
nice. That one slipped my mind, but I remember seeing that. Go ahead. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within?
Well, it's been a while since I've seen it, but basically you have these phantom-like aliens are, you know, apparently invading Earth, and you have a brilliant young doctor with a team of plucky soldiers who are going to save the day.
Plucky soldiers. I like how you put that. Yeah. And what is it about the film that you like or enjoy about it?
Well, the animation is interesting. I mean, when you look at the fact that this was, I think it's for when it was made, the animation is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is 14 years ago, and now I wouldn't say it's Avatar quality as far as the 3D effects go, but it's pretty darn close for a movie that was made 9 years before that.
Sure.
The story, now I know this one, a lot of people panned it at the box office, and I think it's because it's not what they were expecting from a Final Fantasy movie.
Hmm.
Now, I really haven't played much of the games, just a little bit here and there. And this, also for an American audience, this is not a good American audience type film. It's definitely done in more anime style storytelling, where it's a slower pace. When there are action scenes, they are really well done, but there's a lot of stuff in between that. And for a movie that clocks in just an animated, you know, I mean, that kind of, you know, photorealistic animation, it clocks in almost 2 hours. And I do think the voice casting was spot on for this.
Mm-hmm.
I think James Woods as the kind of sinister General Hine was a brilliant casting. And you have Alec Baldwin, and you have Ving Rhames and Steve Buscemi. So Donald Sutherland, and I forget who was the doctor. What?
Ming Na Wen?
Yeah, the one who plays Agent May on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, and she was also in Stargate 1, SG-1.
Yes, and Mulan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a perfect movie. The story is a little slow at times. But I think for what it was, I think they did a fabulous job. And I think a big part of it is the animation was just so far beyond what we had seen at that point.
Well, yeah, I remember that that was one of the big hooks for the film, was the fact that they were bringing in new CGI animation for this and the very realistic people, which then you start getting into the whole uncanny valley type of discussion, because where I think we've brought it up on a previous episode where we talked about the Tom Hanks one, the Christmas movie, Polar Express, you kind of run into that here with this film. Paul, what are your thoughts with The Spirits Within?
I loved this film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The voice acting was great. The animation was great. In fact, it was only actually surpassed in my mind by the Advent Children, the Final Fantasy VII. And prior to them releasing that, this film was my ideal for Final Fantasy, and I didn't care that they didn't focus on the fantasy aspect, because I had started late in the series of Final Fantasy, so I missed out on a lot of that, and it was going more toward this super sci-fi type aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thoroughly ready for this, and I thought it had all the elements I expected from a of Final Fantasy. You know, they had all the like Earth, you know, and the powers that within, and it's battling itself, and you know, you had Cid, and you know, all these like characters and all these like tropes that you expect from Final Fantasy. This movie had. So I loved it. I thoroughly loved this film, and I'm glad you picked it.
And Scott, have you seen The Spirits Within?
I have. I haven't seen it, oh gosh, in about 10 years, I think, or however long it's been since it kind of hit VHS. I mean, and DVD rather. And I did see it in the theater as well. It actually, as soon as the trailer was coming out, I was like, oh, this was my movie for the summer. And I say that having zero familiarity with Final Fantasy. I knew that it didn't have much to do with the game, the movie, but that it was done by the same people and such. But I just thought it looked really interesting, and you're going to have to forgive me. I can't get into specifics just because I'm kind of foggy. It's been so long.
No, that's okay.
But that, you know what? I even bought the Blu-ray. I've been meaning to get to it because I really do like this movie a lot. I thought it was very inventive. I thought that it did a lot of, not just with the technology, but with, you know, the storyline and everything. I thought it was doing a lot of interesting new things, and I felt the film was probably at least a decade or two ahead of its time, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that it was pretty advanced for that time, for 2001. For what they did, which is kind of the wow factor that that film brought and was hoping to pull people into the theater. Cole, what about you with Spirits Within?
I think it's a gorgeous, lush movie, man. Mm-hmm. Again, I haven't seen this, like Scott, for quite a while. And this is, when I watched it, I watched it like three times in 1 week, actually. But it was during a time in my life when I was doing a lot of living, let's just say it that way. You know, I was young and we were partying a bit. So I need to watch this again as a critic to be able to comment on it. Mm-hmm. But it is, I remember it just being gorgeous to look at, and I remember loving it. You know, but I haven't seen it since, geez, I don't even know if they had DVDs at the time. If they did, it was brand new. I can't remember exactly. What did you say, 2001?
Yeah, it was 2001.
Yeah, I think I saw this. I think the quality was pretty low, but even then, man. I mean, there are images that stand out to me to this day. I mean, yeah, thanks for picking this, Glenn. This one didn't cross my mind either. I need to rewatch it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was actually really surprised that I did a lot of looking around on, because I kind of wanted to do this one. But I just wanted to see what else was out there. And the number of lists I saw one where they had, like, the top 30 video game movies, and this wasn't even on that list.
Wow.
I wonder if some people don't consider it a video game adaptation just simply because, despite using the Final Fantasy name, it doesn't have any connection with the games. To my knowledge.
But they consider Super Mario Brothers.
Exactly. I didn't say they were right.
Yeah. It might have been because they considered it animation versus a live action.
Perhaps.
Point.
I think it's a good. I think it's a really good movie, though.
It is, man. From what I remember, it's awesome.
I gotta rewatch this movie.
If anything, for the visual spectacle, Dawn, have you seen this film?
Yes, actually, I have. I remember when it came out, I was like, oh, Final Fantasy, it's a video game movie. And I played the video game. Except when I played the video game, it was Final Fantasy 1 on NES. So I was in for a real treat. I liked it. I did. It was very different, and I have always been able to, well, not as good as I can now, but even then I was able to compartmentalize and say, okay, same name, different story. And awesome. Kind of get over that at that source material issue.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with the Final Fantasy, and I think that's I liked it on a number of levels, mostly because of the visual spectacle, because I do enjoy a visual spectacle. for me, why I think it was okay and more acceptable is the fact that Final Fantasy, if you look at the games, are in their own compartment, each mm-hmm. game. There's similar names that they use for characters, similar situations across games. There's sometimes similar gameplay, but the stories are all contained within that game. I don't think there's hardly any of them until recently when they started doing the sequels. Back then, hardly any of them, none of them had a story that crossed over from Final Fantasy VII to VIII or VIII to IX. They were all contained. They were just, you know, it was more of a brand, really. So I think for me, I kind of accepted it as a little bit better because I was like, oh, okay, this is its own Final Fantasy adventure. More on the sci-fi than fantasy, but if you look at the way Final Fantasy game is now, it's more sci-fi than fantasy. We've gone away from your standard wizards and such, and it's really moved into the sci-fi realm. As much as it is still fantasy role-playing elements in the games now. So for me, I enjoyed it when I first saw it for the visuals. I don't think I quite enjoyed the story, but again, for me, I think this is one I'd have to revisit as well. Plus, in 97, Final Fantasy VII came out, which ended up being one of the biggest games ever to come out. That was huge. And I think by 2001, which would have been four years later, there was another Final Fantasy out. And I think people had that Final Fantasy in their head because it was a similar style of 7, 8, and 9 even. Hmm. So when you came out with this movie and it was completely different than those video games, again, as Dawn said, she was able to compartmentalize and go, okay, this is its own entity. Whereas yeah. I think a lot of people couldn't because Final Fantasy had grown in popularity over the last 4 years. So by the time this film came out, it was like the thing for gamers. So they go in here and then they go, oh. And for those of you who rely so much on Rotten Tomatoes, I just like to say for Final Fantasy Spirits Within, Roger Ebert gave it a high, high rating while Rotten Tomatoes doesn't. So
that's the case with a lot of Ebert's reviews. He's wrong, as so many of us are sometimes, but that man really was groundbreaking in terms of film criticism.
Oh, yeah. As much as he did some things I don't agree with, I love his writing. Always think he's one of the best writers ever. And he went out on a limb to praise a lot of movies that most people would dismiss.
Yes!
And this is one where it's a 44% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and he gave it 3.5 out of 4. So there you go, folks. Rotten Tomatoes, that's what you can take from it. Final Fantasy Spirits Within is worth a watch, as long as you go in not expecting a movie version of Final Fantasy 7, 8, or 9. I think you won't be disappointed, but I think that was part of the problem when it came out, in all honesty.
And on this list that I have of movies that were video games,
mm-hmm.
That 44% is the highest.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, really?
According to Rotten Tomatoes.
Video game movies do not get good reviews.
Yes.
And a lot of them don't deserve them, but some do, you know? So,
so yeah, Spirits of It, a groundbreaking, interesting film. Great pick there, Glenn, as well. Another one of those films where they're taking the video game movie genre, if you will, and trying to do something different with it. You know, and it doesn't always go over well because those who are extremely rabid fan people for comics, there's also equivalent rabid fan people for video games. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I like that film, and I got to revisit it now because I think I didn't get the plot the first time around too well. It didn't capture me at the time. But Cole, what about you, sir? You mentioned it before, your video game movie this evening.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll just start off by saying, and Don so accurately schooled me, you got to separate yourself from the source material. And this movie I'm about to talk about, I'll be as quick as I can.
No worries.
It amazed me. It amazed me on so many levels when I first saw it. But just right off the bat, my pick is Silent Hill, the original. And I'm going to talk without notes first, and then I've got some notes I want to get into. But right off the bat, you know, I'm not a fan of the ending necessarily. I feel like the director, I believe Christoph Gans, again, I'm working without notes first, should have maybe filmed something alternate just to have on a DVD later. I know he was, you know, probably had to leave it open for a sequel. But I do feel like if he had made the ending a little bit more upbeat, a lot like 28 Days Later, which I find equally mind-blowing. Danny Boyle, fortunately, filmed four different endings, and he realized, God, I put my audience through all of this shit. This is a horror movie that needs an upbeat ending. I think if Silent Hill had gone out on a slightly more positive note, well, not even positive. They could still be trapped in the ghost world, just not imply the little girl might have been infected with the devil. It would be on my top five horror movies of all time, without a doubt. As it stands, it's definitely on my top 20. And right off the bat, man, the way this movie is filmed, people who bash this movie, and I can't speak for the hardcore game fanatics, because as we've seen with my reviews for Tank Girl and Super Mario Brothers, I guess it's all relative, you know, it's all what you love. But for me, with Silent Hill, man, anybody who runs this movie into the ground, if you can film a better horror movie, I'd like to see it. And I'm just talking visual-wise. This movie is a descent into hell. Every time that horn goes off in the movie, by the third or fourth time, I'm sick to my stomach, man. Because you know shit is about to get really dark and terrible. And add to that the notion that instead of just, you know, as in most horror movies, teenagers going into a cellar with a lighter, now you have a mother going into a cellar with a lighter looking for her daughter. And you know, this is my first time ever dating a single mother. I know what my girlfriend would do for her son. So there's no way out for this character. And she's descending into these nightmares that are, man, if you gave me a complete creative control over a movie and $30 or $40 million, I cannot say that I would be able to come up with designs this mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, these creatures are straight out of a nightmare. I remember I went to see it the first time early in the morning. It was a matinee because I didn't think I was going to like it. Like I said, I wanted to give a Rada Mitchell movie my money. And consequently, if you look at her career, she's always doing movies about alternate realities, which is very interesting to me. Her breakout movie was High Art, which I stand by as, you know, one of the best love stories ever made. It's a masterpiece. If you haven't seen High Art, do yourself a favor and see it. Don't be put off by the B-movie lesbian cover. Watch that.
Seconded it. It's a great movie.
It's a phenomenal film. But Rada Mitchell is a phenomenal actress. So I wanted to give her my $7.50. Now it's 11 or 12, whatever. But at the time, it was $7.50. And I drove to La Crosse, which is about an hour away, to see it. And I had to drive through the woods for about 2 hours to get my head right. And as I was coming back into town later that evening after getting some Mexican, I realized it was playing at the local cinema. I didn't think they'd get it for whatever reason, because they usually don't get anything risky. They get teen movies and kids movies. But I saw it was at the local cinema, and I pulled my car in, and I went to it again. This movie is so creative, and I think that it has a subtext which is very relevant even today, which is, you know, witch trials and burning people who don't, quote, unquote, have faith. And I'll tell you, man, when my fourth movie came out, Angels and Goblins, you know, spoiler room, I guess, even though that movie hasn't had a wide release, it made the Driftless Film Festival circuit. The only time I've ever had somebody come up to me and say that is the worst movie I've ever seen, big piece of humble pie. But I did a scene where a character is dragged behind a tree, and there's no blood shown. There's nothing implied. You could say maybe she was raped, maybe not. But I will tell you, man, the hate mail I got and basically having people in town who are my friends not talk to me anymore, not even on the streets, but at my workplace, my day job, I can tell you that the witch hunts are very much alive. Maybe we can't burn people anymore, but if you do something that is deemed satanic by any stretch of the definition, whatever that means, you are ostracized, man. These people will cut you out of the community and be very public about it. Even shopping at Walmart for a year or two after was difficult for me. So this movie has a very important subtext to me. Aside from that, again, I just want to throw Rhoda Mitchell's name out there. And I've got I'll be very quick. I've got my notes here on my cell phone. Let me just pull this up. I just want to give some people props. The Alice Cridge, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her name right. She was in Stephen King's Sleepwalkers, which was great. That incestuous tale about soul suckers. She played the mother. Laurie Holden is fantastic. Also Deborah Unger, as the mother who is part of this community and gives her daughter over to these people, knowing what they'll do, but being torn, is fantastic. The music, I guess, which was all taken from the video games, I recognized individual snippets, but the guy who arranged it all and in some cases re-performed the tunes is Jeff Danna. And I think he did a phenomenal job. This is one soundtrack they didn't release still to this day. So I actually love the movie so much, I went out and using my YouTube to MP3 converter, made a soundtrack. Because I'll buy anything. I'll support anybody who does something this powerful, but they never release the soundtrack. So I put together my own compilation of the tunes, and the music in this movie is so fitting. I mean, again, I would compare this to the original Nightmare on Elm Street in terms of a complete descent into hell. And this movie doesn't necessarily say, okay, the devil doesn't exist. It's just making the statement that he doesn't live in the places that perhaps some religions tell you he exists in, meaning sometimes the people who stand behind faith are the most corrupt of all. As Shakespeare once said, one can smile and still be a fucking villain. And that's a true statement, man. This is a phenomenal film, a phenomenal film. I watched it again for the first time tonight for probably, you know, I haven't watched it in 5 years or more, just because it's like Seven or Last House on the Left. It's sometimes too much for me, for my own personal taste. It really resonates with me. But every time I watch it, I'm just amazed. Up until the last 5 minutes, I feel like, man, let a little bit of light shine in. But yeah, I love Silent Hill. This director, I believe the pronunciation is Christoph Gans. I really wish he had followed it up. I really wish that Rhoda Mitchell's role had not been delegated to a shitty cameo in the sequel. I really would have liked one more installment. But then again, if the next installment's successful, then they open it up for another one. So I'm glad with what I have. Silent Hill is one of my favorite movies. And thanks for allowing me the opportunity to rant about it on your show.
I always love your rants there, Cole, because they're so impassioned. You make me just want to watch the movie from hearing from your descriptions in that. Paul, what about you, first Silent Hill film?
I definitely loved it, because I love the series. The reason why I picked the sequel over this one was because I felt that there were more references to the original game. And again, if you take movies out of their thing and then watch them as they are, I would definitely agree that Silent Hill is probably a better movie. Silent Hill, I picked the sequel, of course, because I felt it was more closer to the game, which is what I enjoyed. Especially in this film, the female characters are amazing. They're strong.
Yes,
amazingly strong in this film.
Yes.
And they really do. They show that they can, you can really have a great, fantastic movie, and it was amazing. I loved the story of it. I loved picking out, okay, yeah, this is the little bit of elements that they're having, and overall, I felt this is one of the few films that I get to watch that is truly atmospheric. It makes you feel like you're scared rather than that jumpy, you know, every time, every 5 minutes something's jumping at you. You feel uneasy because, yeah, like the horn, you know, every time that horn goes off, you know something's going to happen, and it's just and then the way the walls start to change, just like in the game, it's just, it makes you feel uneasy, and it's a terrific movie because of that.
Thank you for listening to part one of our special two-part episode of movies based on video games. Make sure you check out part two, where Dawn weighs in on the first Silent Hill film. The rest of the crew give their favorite films, and it's just a whole lot of fun. So get your game on, folks, here in part two, and make sure you check out the other episodes of The Spoiler Room on Special Mark Productions and iTunes Radio.